Dead center of the work week right now, although this is an atypical work week for me, and actually atypical for producer Jay as well. He had to do a double last night. I don't know if he mentioned that on the air. Apparently, Jay and Rich had some really interesting conversations on the air while I was gone. So I hear about it through social media because Jay doesn't tell me these things. And so I think it was the Rich and Jay show the last couple nights. Woohoo! But now I'm back for one night, and then I'm gone for the rest of the week. It is such a strange week. Do you know 4 times this week I have to get neighbors to help me with Penny because that's how strange my schedule is this week. Thankfully, she rolls with the punches, and it's some good stuff. I've got family coming in to visit tomorrow, my brother and my nieces, and then one of my niece's roommates because we have an activity that we're going to. They've invited me along, which is really neat, but they're all staying at my house too. So I've got to get ready for that. And then coming up on Saturday, I don't know if I'm going to tell you yet. Maybe I'll wait until after. I have signed up with a group that I do not know to do one of my favorite things. And I'm not nervous at all because I'm so excited about the activity. I just hope I don't get lost on my way there because I could get lost in a paper bag. But this is something brand new for me. So anyway, there's some good stuff in the next few days. And after working the daytime shift on Monday and Tuesday and now turning around and coming back and doing essentially a double, I kind of feel like I've earned the next couple nights off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks for finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. There's clips from TV. There's a photo I took of my professional makeup, mostly to show my mom, but you can look at it too on Twitter. Do I need to put it on Facebook? I don't know. You guys don't read. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, and we are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Fine. Even though you all loved having me answer the questions on the fly off of social media, I've decided that Jay should be restored to King of Ask Amy. So he's got his list.
King.
Actually, he ignored me. Last segment, he wasn't even listening to me. And his back was turned to me, and I asked him what he was doing. I was getting the questions for Ask Amy. So I don't know. If you continue to ignore me during the show, I might have to take the responsibilities back from you.
How to field the questions. Although, yeah, right. If you just do it that way, then you just field them as they come. So we'll see which one works better.
Yeah. I've had a lot of producers who don't listen to what I'm saying during the show. I'm not a fan, so, you know.
Well, that's not me, so let's get this going. Eric wants to know, did you or your brother ever prank your mom that caused you to get halfway killed or grounded?
Oh, well, I don't know about pranking, but here's what we did all the time, and we nearly lost our lives for it more than once. We fought like cats and dogs and broke stuff in our house. So she would leave us in the morning because she taught at one school and we would then have to get the bus to another school. She would leave us for a few minutes in the morning when we were, I think we were elementary school, but we knew exactly what we were supposed to do. We had to stay in the dining room until the bus came or until it was time for the bus, and then we had to go out at the end of our driveway. One morning, we were yelling and screaming at each other and running around and around the dining room table, and I stepped on one of the chairs. It went backward right through a window. So that was one thing that my mom came home to later in the day. Oh, my gosh. Also, in our log cabin in New Hampshire, we were once fighting on either side of a full wood. I mean, we're talking about a solid wooden door. We split it in half because we were fighting like we were so bad. We broke other doors and windows. We were terrible. So, yeah, the thing that caused my mom great grief and that also got us in so much trouble is that we broke stuff around the house because we were always fighting until we were about sophomore and junior in high school, and then all of a sudden we were BFFs. But before that, we were constantly breaking crap around the house because we were always fighting. Like fighting, actually fighting. Then my freshman year in high school, my brother sprouted and he got, all of a sudden he was taller than me. I was taller than him until that point. Then all of a sudden he went from being 5'8 to 6'4 and there was no more beating him. At that point,
he had the advantage.
At that point, he was ready to pay me back.
So we're going to go over to movies now, the cinema world. Steven, this one was interesting. Steven wants to know, do you have a favorite scene from Caddyshack?
The pond. Of course, over and over and over again. Though I do like, it's in the hole! I've only seen the movie twice, so if I'm forgetting something really scintillating and hysterical, I apologize, but I like the pond scene.
So keeping it movies here for a second, Chris wants to know, what do you have against The Godfather?
Nothing, but I have so many other TV shows and movies that I want to see. I don't have anything against Stranger Things either. Jay told me about it months ago and tried to get me to watch it. I just haven't had time. I am so wrapped up in the extended and expanded Star Wars universe right now. I'm just wrapping season four of The Rebels. I did Clone Wars. Wrapping season four of Rebels. It's so good that I might go back and watch the series again. Oh my gosh. It's tragic, but it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's got all these Easter eggs with the original trilogy, A New Hope. It goes right up to A New Hope. I am mesmerized. Plus the Obi-Wan series that I watched with my brother while you were gone. This is what happens. You leave, you go gallivanting. I got to watch Star Wars without you.
Well, guess what? We got a new series coming out.
A new series coming up. Jay's already told me that we have to watch Andor, which is okay with me because it features one of the Rogue One characters. Anyway, all that to say, oh no, there goes the ball. All that to say that I don't have anything against it, but it's kind of like Space Jam. I needed a reason to watch it. Why would I go back and watch it now? Jay, are you gonna? Do you feel like it should be on the list? Are you gonna put it on the list of things we have to watch?
The Godfather?
Yeah.
You have to watch it. I mean, but then, like I said, you gotta watch it once, and then you gotta watch it again, and then probably a third and fourth time.
Not by myself.
It's a long one.
Yeah.
You'd have to schedule a night.
Okay. Fine. Group watch.
Group watch. Group watch on Netflix or Hulu. Whatever it's on there. That is a good thing about Disney Plus. All right, moving
on. It's everything. It's Amazon Prime, too.
You can do
group
everything?
Watch everywhere, yeah.
Oh, that's a nice touch.
It's a thing.
Moving on. Robert says, I know orange is your favorite color. Have you decorated your home with it at all?
I do. Let's see. What do I have in my home that's got orange? I have, in my front room, I have orange and pink accents with my brown and beige. So I have a set of curtains that have some orange, like they're custom made curtains. They have orange, kind of orange and pink hues to them that I really like. In terms of decorating with orange, no, but I have things like pieces of Broncos memorabilia out. And a lot of my beach motif has sunset colors of, you know, that feature some orange as well. So no, nothing painted orange. I do have a purple room though. It's purple. Beautiful. It's really lavender. Yeah, when I had the flood last year and had to repaint an entire room, I painted my utility room lavender. It's pretty. I never considered orange. I do have orange toenail polish, if that matters, right now.
It's in the house.
It's in the
works.
It's in the house. My dog is orange.
That's true. Very
she
true.
Is.
There you go.
Penny is bronze colored.
AC asks, who is the last non-family member to whom you wrote a personal letter that needed a stamp?
Oh, gosh. I do that all the time. I send birthday cards. I send thank you notes. I actually keep stamps in my wallet because I send cards all the time. But I'll tell you the very last one. You said non-family member, right? So, okay, so we have a family member to whom I sent a birthday card this week. But before that, a young woman that I mentor is in this business. She's in California. She had a birthday. I sent her a card and wrote a big, long note, and she just got it actually today. So she sent me a photo of herself reading it. This made my day. And so it was really sweet. I love doing that. I love sending thank you notes to people who do nice things for me or just notes in general to surprise people. I do it a lot, and not just at Christmas or birthdays or holidays. I actually do send people notes. I write you notes in cards. I don't have to mail them because you're here, but I write you handwritten notes.
It is nice to get a card in the mail that's not a bill once in a while. You know, it brings back that old nostalgic feeling of like, oh, you're invited.
Well, I could
to
mail
my
your
birthday.
Next one if you want.
I might
considering
ask you to do
that,
actually.
Would you like me to mail the one for the big milestone?
I think so.
Do you know if I didn't mention it, Jay wouldn't even know that we just marked 1 year working together.
Oh, not true.
Really? So when was it?
Monday.
You didn't mention it.
I would have. We got to. We didn't work together,
oh,
of course,
okay.
On our 1 year.
So then when are we doing our big celebration?
I guess I won't see you for another like week now. So.
Oh, come on. It's not that long. Speaking from someone who just took 8 days away to go like dump me and
totally
leave.
Totally different.
Yeah. Oh. Totally different, is it? When you take a vacation, it's totally different.
Totally different.
I'm going to throw this ball at your head. Did I mention that? Oh, should I ask you to explain why?
No, we'll move on.
Wait, no, I want to know. When are we marking 1 year? I feel like we should give people the chance to call in and tell us some of their favorite moments. Or, I mean, everyone loves producer Jay. So did you see me roll my eyes?
Oh, I saw.
Yeah, because you're perfect, of course. I'm the one who ruins the show. No, seriously, you better watch out when we play in the hallway. I know that people would love to call up and express how much you've meant to them and to the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. We can do, how about Monday or Sunday night into Monday of next week, where it'll be just a week after. So it'll be kind of like the same thing, but...
What are you bringing me?
You'll see. Cannot share.
You're so full of it.
So you'll see. You're going to see.
Wait, I felt like we decided we weren't doing that, though.
Yeah, I might have something up my sleeve.
Wait a minute. I thought we talked about this. Are you cheating?
We discussed it. We never finalized anything. So
ball at your head.
We'll see.
Buzzing the tower. Okay. Well,
you're gonna like it.
What was the original question?
Oh, I don't know.
Don't know what the original question was?
No, we answered the original question.
What was it?
That was the family member who wrote a personal letter.
So. Oh, wow. Yeah, I do it all the time. And the next time, apparently, I'm going to do that for you and mail it to your house.
I like that.
Okay.
Scott asks, do you prefer to wear hoodies or non-hoodie sweatshirts?
Didn't we? We did this one.
I don't think
2 weeks ago. Okay. I prefer non-hoodie just because it's a lot of times when I'm wearing a sweatshirt, my ponytail gets stuck in the hood. I mean, I don't have anything against hoodies. It's just that when I have long hair like I do right now, my ponytail gets wrapped up in the hood.
Ready for a three-part question?
Sure.
Very different. They don't go together. I don't know where his
train of
thought
was. By the way, Ask Amy Anything here on CBS Sports Radio.
Steven asked, what is your favorite golf club in New Hampshire? Do you have one?
Golf club? Oh, not
course,
golf club
right.
Out of your bag.
Golf course.
No, actually, I did not golf in New Hampshire. I didn't pick up golf till after I left New Hampshire, so... I do not have a favorite course in New Hampshire.
And then he follows up asking, do you like caramel apples?
Yes. But I prefer them separately more than I like them together. But they are delicious. I guess once every 10 years or whatever at a fair. Have you ever had one? They're really good.
It's been
a while. Yeah. They're not great for your teeth.
Yeah.
I'm worried I'll lose a teeth.
I don't like biting into them.
In a caramel apple. Oh, you don't. When was the last time you ate an apple?
It's been a minute.
Yeah. I think.
Caramel sounds a little better. And now his next follow-up goes on to the caramel apples. If you were to eat a caramel apples, nuts or
wait,
no
I
nuts
say caramel, you say caramel?
Caramel.
Caramel?
Caramel. Now I'm overthinking it. Caramel.
You are?
Caramel app. Caramel, that's what I say.
That's not what you said. You said caramel.
Caramel?
No. There's an extra A. It's not caramel. Caramel, Indiana is a thing. Caramel. It's got two A's, Cara or caramel, but that sounds weird.
But should it have nuts or no nuts?
I'm all about nuts. I find people in life who are your kind of nuts. I'm all about nuts, so I have no problem with any type of nuts covering. Nuts and cookies, I bake with them. I mean, I guess I should ask sometimes when I bake for people, is there anyone allergic? But I don't.
All right, here's an animal question. DJ wants to know, what is your favorite
marsupial? Would I clone my dog?
No.
My favorite marsupial?
Favorite
a kangaroo,
marsupial.
Of course.
Interesting.
Don't you think they're awesome? I could watch them forever at the zoo. In fact, when I was at the zoo in Nashville last summer, we were allowed to walk into a pen where there were kangaroos everywhere. I got within inches of a kangaroo.
That's pretty
It
epic.
Was amazing. I have some awesome photos. Would you like to see them?
I would, yes.
Okay. Awesome.
I like koalas, though, too. They're up there.
They are. Really adorbs.
All right, last one here.
But before. Apparently they're Ooh. Mean.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, kangaroos, like, can punch you
oh, yeah.
if they want to.
They should. The cartoon ones absolutely can kick you with their feet repeatedly.
Punch and kick. So last one here before we get a little rapid fire. Wayne asks, what are your three favorite slices of pie?
Pie or pizza pie?
Right, like dessert pie.
Oh, okay. My three favorite slices of pie. Well... In the top three is blueberry pie. I love a good blueberry pie. Let's see. Second would be, ooh, this is a good question. I know my top one. Oh, well, second would be pumpkin. I love pumpkin pie. And my top pie would be coconut cream. That's my all-time favorite. I've recently started making them on my own, and Jay actually likes it. He didn't know he liked coconut cream, but he didn't realize that he must have coconut cream in his life moving forward.
You made those coconut island cookies, and then a couple weeks later, the coconut cream, and I didn't think I even liked coconut, and now I guess I do.
Mm-hmm. So I could talk about pie all the time. I prefer pie over cake. Not that you asked that, but that was bonus.
All right, let's go into a little rapid fire. We'll close this out. Test the waters or dive in the deep end?
Dive in the deep end.
Movie quotes or song lyrics?
Well, song lyrics generally, unless we're talking about Star Wars.
Passwords or secret handshakes?
I mean, there's so many different contexts that could be in. Do we have either?
I don't think so.
We have a special club, but do we have either passwords or secret handshakes?
Not yet. I think a handshake would where I would lean.
I mean, whatever. You have cooties. Let's see. I can't remember passwords, so I'll go secret handshakes.
Sweating or shivering?
I'd rather be cold any day of the week.
Netflix or Hulu?
Neither. I'm Amazon Prime or Paramount Plus.
All right, fair choice. And last one here, roller coasters or water slides?
Oh, crap. Well, I do like water slides, but these days, if you think about the germs that are in that water, nasty. And when it's middle of the summer and the water's hot, no thank you. I never turn down a roller coaster. So roller coasters are my jam, especially when we're talking about the scariest ones that freaking cause your life to flash before your eyes. So, yes. Why are you a roller coaster person?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think we've ever had this discussion about.
I like a fair water slide, too. Like, you know, I'll go down on any water slide, but I do like roller coasters, yeah.
Nice. All right, maybe we should do a Stairway to Seven video going up a roller coaster and then down a roller coaster.
Seven roller coasters?
No, we'd have to be on a roller coaster, though. You can't do a Stairway to Seven, an episode about roller coasters, if we don't actually go on a roller coaster. That'd be cheating. I'm in. I love roller coasters. I'm the person who makes my family stand in line for 2 hours to do the Batman roller coaster a few years ago.
My family doesn't like roller coasters, which is upsetting.
Oh, so, that is. Yeah. Wow. Huh. Where did you come from? Did you fall off the turnip truck?
Yeah, you could say that. Some middle child stuff going on there. I don't know.
Thank you for your questions for Ask Amy. A lot of times I go back and answer some stragglers on both Twitter and Facebook. So we'll get to that coming up. A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. And let's see what else. We got QB News in, we'll call it 25 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. And actually, I did see a question that came in about Bill Belichick and whether or not he's ruining the Patriots or it's turning into a big mess. So let's talk about Bill Belichick and the play calling responsibilities. So I feel like this has turned into a fascinating discussion. Plus, Belichick speaks my love language. Do you know what it is? Well, that's your tease. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, The Hump Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Third and goal from the 7 for the Patriots. Again, Jones pumps left, now throws
there it
in the
middle
of the field. It's caught. It's Hunter Henry. Touchdown, Patriots.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
On Westwood One, New England Patriots, and we're getting closer to regular highlights. I love it. We get to use play-by-play from college and NFL the last couple of days, doing Maggie and Perloff and working in some of these highlights, and it gets my juices flowing. 3 weeks from Thursday, the NFL season opener. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, if you too would like to send all of your exceptional comments about Jay and his first year as the producer of After Hours.
As you laugh.
Because I can't wait. It's going to be so fantastic. It'll be a love fest for producer Jay.
Oh, yeah, that's why.
That's why. And then, let's see, on our Facebook page or YouTube channel, both named After Hours, super easy to find. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. As I mentioned before the break, Bill Belichick speaks my love language. Well, one of my love languages is food. But the other love language is sarcasm. Oh, the thing is, when Jay uses it, though, half the time I can't tell if he's being serious or not. Actually, it's probably most of the time I can't tell if he's being serious. He thinks it's so funny to use it against me. It's just wrong. Anyway, I'm not suggesting at all that I've ever been upset about it, though. So
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
Bill Belichick is already in midseason form. He has fielded about 8 bazillion questions about play calling duties, who will be calling plays, if it's a competition, why he doesn't have an offensive coordinator. Can you just keep this in mind about Bill Belichick? He's a mad scientist when it comes to football. Not only has he forgotten more than the average or even above average human knows about the sport, but he's one that anytime he can wants to fly in the face of convention. Do you remember? Well, it's happened more than once. The number of times in AFC championship games, he's trotted out some archaic little known rule and exploited it for a big gain or a touchdown or an advantage against his opponent. The man eats, sleeps, breathes football. I know he's married and has a dog named Nike. He also really loves Bon Jovi music. But football is what he's born to do. He processes football differently than most of us. So the idea that he might actually be doing something to stunt the development of the quarterback he handpicked to be Tom Brady's heir apparent is so ridiculous. Seriously. Yes, Bill Belichick is sabotaging his young quarterback. He's hurting his development. I understand that Belichick doesn't like to show his cards. And because he keeps everything real tight and close to the vest, people get suspicious. The more he refuses to answer the questions, the more we're going to ask. I've been part of that New England media before. My last stop prior to network radio was the Providence, Rhode Island market. I spent a lot of time covering the same sporting events, the same Bill Belichick, the same Celtics, the same Bruins, the same Red Sox. A lot of the members of the Boston area media, I know. They know me. I will give them credit for being tenacious. Like a dog with a bone. And so the less information that Bill Belichick offers about his play calling situation, the more people are going to ask. And now he's turned to sarcasm to explain it.
What's the nature of that process? Is it competitive, you know, like it is for the players where you're competing for opportunity and being evaluated?
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Then how would you characterize the process?
We don't have time for that. I appreciate the question. I really do. I know how interested you are in that subject, and I'd love to be able to shed a little more light on it, but it's a much longer conversation.
I'd love to shed a little more light on it. I know how interested you are in that process, but we just don't have time for that.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
He makes me laugh. Bill Belichick in midseason form already. Now, based on the first preseason game, and this sent people into a tizzy, right? Just a total tailspin. Because Joe Judge and Matt Patricia called plays based on the quarterback that was out there on the field. Neither one of those guys comes from the offensive side of the ball. At least not previously. With Bill Belichick, one was a special teams coordinator. The other was a defensive coordinator. But here's something else you need to know about Bill Belichick if you haven't guessed it already. With 99% of the coaches and players who are in his system, there is loyalty, there is respect, there is almost an awe, and there is an agreement that what Bill Belichick says goes, but mostly because it works. I mean, this whole idea that he can't win without Tom Brady is dumb. And he's out to prove it wrong.
We don't have time for that.
But he's also not going to do it the way you think he should do it. I actually give him credit for thinking outside the box. Again, the way that Bill Belichick processes football is unlike anybody else on this planet. But the fact that he is willing to take guys back who've been on his staff before, have gone out, stretched their wings, tried to find something new, and fell flat on their faces, he's willing to take them back. He did it with Josh McDaniels. He's now done it with Joe Judge and with Matt Patricia. These are not the only examples. It inspires loyalty, which means whatever Bill Belichick asks of these guys, they are going to do.
The assistant coach's job is real simple. Make the head coach happy. That's your job. He has a vision for his team. He knows what he wants his team to look like. It's our job to listen and to go out and execute the way he sees it. You know, you can't have 20 head coaches. There's one head coach. So as far as defined roles, whatever it may be, I come to work every day with one simple policy. Whatever he says goes.
Honestly, it's just collaborative from that standpoint. You know, I mean, we follow Coach Belichick's lead. You know, I mean, it's obviously I'm just trying to do my job to the best ability, whatever he asks me to do on any given day. You know, we're all just working together right now, which is the great part about it.
You don't feel like you're in a competition with Joe to be the play caller?
No, we're 100% just trying to make sure that we do everything as possible as coaches to allow our players to go do everything they can on the field. That's what's important, not the rest of it, if that makes any sense.
Those two voices are very recognizable, Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. Whatever Bill says goes. It's Bill's world, and we're just living in it. But you hear that from a bunch of the players, too. I mean, there are guys who rail against the way that he commands the locker room, the fact that he's the king, right? It's Bill's way or the highway. He's a hard boss to play for and to work for, no doubt. But if you do what he asks, you're generally in a position to win. Mac Jones is the perfect quarterback for him, has the perfect temperament for him. And the idea that Belichick might actually set up play calling or not have an offensive coordinator to the detriment of his young QB is laughable. But I do appreciate the humor that you all are generating. And by you all, I essentially mean the sports world, sports fans who are freaking out over it, but also sports media. Bill's got a track record. There should be no question that he knows football. And if he's trying something different, okay. They do both have titles, by the way. They're long, and they feature multiple words, and I can't remember them. But Joe Judge and Matt Patricia sharing play-calling duties of the preseason, we'll see what happens moving forward. It's crazy, right? Because any other sport, this wouldn't be a big deal. But
I know how interested you are in that subject.
In football, we obsess over these things. And because it's Bill Belichick, and he doesn't care to explain himself, nor does he have the kind of time that it would take to explain himself.
We don't have time for that.
Do you know one time I sat in a press conference? It wasn't in front of a locker, or it wasn't a scrumble. It was actual press conference where people sat down. And Bill Belichick was at the podium. Someone asked a question about, it was X's and O's questions about special teams. He went on and on and on. It was fascinating. I wish I'd had a tape recorder on it because I learned so much in those couple minutes. But the fact that he never stopped talking, and I think at that point I didn't really appreciate it because now I recognize how succinct he is to the point of being rude. A lot of times people get upset at him. When you ask him an XO question and you really unlock some of the football genius that's in that brain, it's pretty amazing.
I appreciate the question. I really do.
They both move their units. If we could just get Bill Belichick to drop a couple of Mike Tomlinisms, as Brian McFadden called them, it'd almost be this kind of weird cloning process, right? Or like a merging.
Never say never, but never.
Jay loves Mike Tomlin drops and Bill Belichick drops. As long as he stays away from the drop of me calling Manny Machado by a different first name, we're good to go. All right, coming up, some QB news. And no, we're not going to talk about who's calling plays for the Patriots. We did that. I'm good. What do you Patriots fans say in Bill We Trust? I just think his track record earns him a little more credibility and equity than what people are giving him post-Tom Brady. The idea that he all of a sudden sucks as a coach, I mean, am I the only one who thinks that's ludicrous? I'll take him as my coach. I'm like, tomorrow, if you want to hire him in my, you know, my favorite cities, that's not what I meant to say. You want to hire him for my favorite team? Bring it. Let's go. I'll take Bill Belichick tomorrow. I bet Cleveland would too now, actually, except they kind of hate him there. But, you know, considering what's happened lately. Here's our
latest. We don't have time for that.
That's true. Cleveland's got farther to climb.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
He's got a man wide open. John Brown, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Buffalo. John Brown from Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson in the shotgun. Lob to the five. It is caught. Touchdown, Willie Snead.
Play fake by Russ.
Throws deep. Man wide open. It's Lockett. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Tannehill rolling, throwing. Touchdown, Titans.
Burrow back to pass. Throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
Contended for Tyler
Boyd. Touchdown.
Touchdown. Yeah.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Because we're nearly at the regular season, this is going to be a regular occurrence. I mean, it happens during the offseason too, but it's a little more fun to pick apart the QB news when we are on the cusp of yet another preseason weekend and now just over 3 weeks away from the NFL season opener. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Aaron Rodgers has to whip his new wide receiver group into shape, and he is not happy. He's not happy with the drops. He's not happy with the mental mistakes, bad routes, running the wrong routes. Oh, man. He is all over the guys and maybe seeing himself as a bit of a godfather.
People are coming here to play with me.
Without Devontae Adams, we're talking about not an entirely new crew, but he's got to get them ready, and he does it with some tough love.
It's unfortunately some of the same guys. That's, you know, repeat mistakes are a problem. So we just got to clean those things up a little bit. The young guys, you know, they got to, especially young receivers, we got to be way more consistent. You know, a lot of drops, a lot of bad route decisions, run the wrong route. So we got to get better in that area.
Do you remember a couple years ago when he talked about being a cranky old man? And he was on the case of some of his young receivers then too. So apparently the frustration was not directed at Alan Lazard, who actually is stepping into the number one spot without Devontae Adams, and not Randall Cobb, who is Rodgers' BFF. Not even Sammy Watkins. Aaron actually praised him for having his best day, but some of the other young guys. Now, going back to the preseason weekend, it was Jordan Love who threw three interceptions. Is there maybe a part of that was on the wide receivers as well, not being where they were supposed to be? So it's not yet where Aaron Rodgers would like it to be. And of course, there's an adjustment without Devontae. Someone asked me, do I think his numbers are going to drop? I don't think his production or his numbers will drop. There may be more drops that he's going to have to get used to. I mean... He will make everyone else around him better. That's what the best quarterbacks do. All right, so from there, we go to a guy who is on the hot seat yet again. The New York Giants have brought in a new head coach, one that worked with Josh Allen to try to eke out the best potential and the best production from Daniel Jones. But the Giants did not pick up his fifth-year option, and of course, it's a question he gets asked all the time. How does he feel about it?
You can't think about it too much. You can't worry about it. I think, you know, coming in, you know, understand there's going to be a lot of change this year. There's new people that I haven't had the chance to be around, work with, go through a season with. So, you understand that was a part of it, a piece of it, and, you know, in a lot of ways you're starting over. So I understood that and understood how important my approach would be to just coming in and working every day, making sure I'm improving as a player and doing everything I can to put the team in a position to win games and kind of letting the rest take care of itself.
That's how he has to handle this. He's obviously playing for his next contract, but isn't that really the state of most athletes in the NFL? Even when you have a brand new contract, because the majority of the deals are not fully guaranteed, because the NFL does not need a reason to cut you, they can trade you. I mean, it's such an uncertainty that all these guys live with all the time. So I don't know that it's any different for Daniel Jones, especially considering that he's been playing with this extra pressure over the past couple of years with the New York Giants and everyone talking about how this is the year he has to prove himself. Well, now it's put up or shut up time. Brett Brian Daboll has had success with quarterbacks. He's the new head coach. Interestingly enough, he says he might give Tyrod Taylor some reps with the first team in practice and potentially a preseason game.
As we get going here in terms of the preseason games, you know, we'll talk about whatever we think is best. But, you know, I have full confidence in Daniel and full confidence in Tyrod and what his role is. Each day we sit there, we evaluate the guys, but you know, will he get a few reps here or there? He might.
It's going to be interesting to see how quickly they can come together with a new offensive system. And that's part of the problem, is that it's been nothing but change around Daniel Jones since he got into the league. So, yeah, some of it's on him, but some of it's not. And it's hard to really evaluate a quarterback when everything else around him is in a constant state of flux. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. A lot of people pointing to the Eagles as a team that could see a meteoric rise, potentially win the NFC East this season. Jalen Hurts got a lot of good weapons around him, and he's pretty confident in them.
I know when everybody has the opportunity to make a play, they'll make it. And I have that amount of trust in them. I have true trust in every guy on the field. So I know things happen. You experience things. Things may not look right, but ultimately I trust everybody in the end, and that'll never change. So, never change.
Jalen Hurts on CBS Sports HQ. Do you believe the NFC East is up for grabs? Depends upon who you ask. One more from the NFC. Man alive, Trevor Lawrence is poised for a huge season. What? Oh, no. Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you. Sorry. Jay's saying something in my ear, and I just got hung up on that. Yes, AFC South, thank you. So Trevor Lawrence is poised for, I think, a huge jump from year one to year two because he's got a new head coach. And here we are talking about things changing. But Urban Meyer was a bad fit for the Jaguars from the beginning. And Trevor Lawrence is already making strides, according to people who are watching. With a rookie year behind him, what about having a former QB, a Super Bowl-winning coach, Doug Peterson, in your ear?
I think just the way he communicates, typically, I mean, everybody's a little bit different, but quarterbacks think similarly, I'd say, for the most part. So just the way he runs things, especially offensively, you know, the way he communicates with our room, with the whole offense, and just him understanding, having been in our shoes, he understands kind of what we're going through day in and day out. And just the way he talks to us, you know, I think quarterback is a different position, you know, other positions in football. A lot more hard-nosed, intense, you know, bringing all the energy. A quarterback, you got to be poised, composed, got to keep your head on straight, all those things. I think he does a really good job of staying level-headed, and I think he knows how to address the room, really everybody, but especially the quarterback group.
On SiriusXM NFL Radio, Trevor Lawrence, a player to watch this year for sure. We're not going to see Zach Wilson to start second-year quarterback to start the season for the Jets more than likely. So that means Joe Flacco, who is heading into his 15th season, his third year with the Jets, could be on the field as the starter against his former franchise, the one with which he won a Super Bowl, the Ravens, in week number one.
Obviously, people are going to bring it up to me, and, you know, you think about that. I've been in a bunch of games where guys have played, you know, their past teams, and coaches have played their past teams, and usually the emotions are definitely crazy. Guys try to act like they're so cool during the week, and that doesn't mean anything, you know. So I know. I've probably thought about it a tiny bit. It's so far away, and who knows what's going to happen at this point. But I've definitely thought about that in a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, it's not going to be a big deal. And I'm going to know deep down, like, okay, it's not, you know, I'm going to try to make sure it's not the biggest deal in the world. But at the same time, it's I've been through it enough. I've seen guys go through it.
Joe Flacco, according to Robert Saleh, will be fine. In fact, he said, I have all the faith in the world in Joe Flacco. If you missed my back and forth with Bryant McFadden, former NFL DB, now with CBS Sports HQ, he said, yes, Flacco has experience. He can step into any situation. The problem is you've already lost one guy on the Jets offensive line, and he didn't say Flacco has cinder blocks for feet. That's my line. But he's not mobile. This is not a guy who's going to move around and extend play, so you have to protect him. He also said the first day of practice with Flacco, the defense won. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.